Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm your host, Albert Morales, and this morning's conversation is with Michael Astrew, Commissioner of the U.S. Social Security Administration. Also joining us in our conversation from IBM is Nicole Gardner. Michael, it's been my experience that any time you are driving broad change, a leader needs a compelling vision that the team participates in forming and buys into achieving. To this end, I understand that SSA recently released its strategic plan for the next 5 years. Could you give us a brief overview of this strategic plan and describe the vision that underlies and unifies your strategic goals?
Sure. Let me just talk about the process briefly. There are OMB requirements for what's in a strategic plan, and agencies are supposed to do strategic plans. But to my way of thinking, you can check that box off and you don't have a real strategic plan. And I think that's what our agency was doing, and most agencies do most of the time. So one of the things we decided to do is we were going to have a real strategic plan, that we were going to have the senior people commit a significant amount of time to defining the obstacles ahead and looking at the options for change and really trying to come to as much broad agreement at a senior level as possible as to what the issues were and what we needed to do with them. And it was a long and sometimes frustrating process, but I think it paid off. We have a terrific strategic plan. A number of things have come out of this. I mean, one of the things that I think is very clear is the agency had largely brushed off a 2006 National Academy of Sciences report that said that the agency really needed to embrace electronic services in a major way. And when you look at the workload increases that we have coming, both because of the demographics of the baby boom, but also the new responsibilities that Congress keeps putting on us year after year, we couldn't get out of that box continuing to do things the way that we've been doing them. And so we've embraced the National Academy of Sciences report in a serious way. We're committing to electronic services. We're looking much more to systems as a way to change some of the paradigm and let us not only catch up, but try to get a little ahead and try to actually not just keep up with the workloads, but actually improve the quality of service as we do it. And in most cases, we've found that we can improve the quality of services. So we're focused on reducing the disability backlog. We had almost 750,000 Americans waiting for hearings, some of them waiting for 4 years. We've made progress through reallocating resources, we're doing more and more electronic hearings, video hearings, so that we're investing in people and not investing in bricks and mortar. The cost of bricks and mortar is going up about three times as much as the cost of the employees. We have now a national hearing center. Traditional ways of putting new hearing resources into an area where there are bad backlogs can take 5 years or more. Now we have cadres of judges in one location now, and in the next few months, three locations, who will do nothing but video hearings from central locations and move around the country to the most backlogged areas. And we're going to be substantially upping the number of judges we use in that way for the backlog. We're interested in improving service in the field for the retirement people. And again, electronic services are going to be an important part of that. It takes about 45 minutes. We've already simplified the form in that we've found that we didn't need to require an original birth certificate. We didn't do marginal changes from the old form. We started from scratch. And we asked for every single question, is this necessary? Do we really need this information? Can we get the information from some other place? So in short, we've gotten the new form down to about 12 to 15 minutes. It looks spectacular. It's in the final stages of quality testing now. Should be out in a few months.
Good, good, great. We look forward to those. So going back to your strategic plan, what external factors could affect the ability to achieve your goals and vision in the plan? Or said differently, what are some of the greatest risks facing SSA and the country in this area?
We really have two major risks. One is we need to make more investments in our technology, and we need to make sure that our employee base doesn't keep shrinking. We just simply can't keep supplying the level of services that are demanded with that kind of contracting resources. And I'm pleased that so far with the rollout of the strategic plan, it's been extremely well received outside the agency. The other issue is really the fraying IT infrastructure. Our National Computer Center It's a 1970s facility. It was built under very different assumptions than what we face now. And with all the increasing workloads, it's running close to its capacity. And so we have to start figuring out how to either extend the life of that facility for a short run while we figure out what we're going to do over the longer run. And that's a big issue for us going forward.
For more than half a century, SSA has been responsible for the nation's two primary federal disability programs, and it has helped disabled workers and their families cope with the loss of income caused by a severe disability. Today, as you said, there's a backlog of 750,000 people waiting for hearings and for disposition on their application. Could you just back up for a moment and tell us about the causes for the backlog, what has led to this problem?
There are three or four things you can point to. One is just a question of resources, that when I came back to the agency, we were at the same level of resources that we were in the Clinton administration, but the number of filings has increased dramatically. Matter of fact, one of the issues we have this year is that the number of filings was much higher than what we projected. Part of it is the distribution of that funding. We've been horribly under-resourced in some parts of the country. So the backlog is substantially worse in the Southeast and the Midwest than it is in other parts of the country. So we are trying to equalize those resources fairly quickly. We just hired 190 new administrative law judges to get to approximately 1,200, and we had a net increase in Ohio alone of about 13. We were slow to adopt electronic systems. For the first two levels of the process that are handled by the states, that's a fully electronic process. The transition to fully electronic is still going on in the hearings operation. We're almost there. We should be about 6 months to what we consider fully electronic. There will be a few stray types of cases that will still be handled paper, but we'll be about 98% electronic within about 6 months. And I think that's been an important problem. And I think also, to some extent, I think the agency has been under so much pressure that it took certain shortcuts to try to respond to some of those political pressures. So, for instance, the newest cases, which are the easiest and fastest to do, were at the front of the queue. And that kept that pending number down. But what that meant is that we had an explosion of cases that had been waiting years and years. Some of those had been waiting 4 years. And that's just not right. So we flipped around the processing. So now we give the highest priority to the oldest cases. And that's meant a little political pain in the short run, because it means that the total pending of case number of cases, which is what Congress and the media tends to focus on, is going to be a little higher in the short run. It's vital to take those cases on first, because they don't get any easier. They just get exponentially harder over time. And ultimately, it's more work for the component overall if they handle cases in that way. And I give the hearing office an enormous amount of credit. Productivity is up about 10% in the last fiscal year. We've set performance standards for judges for the first time. The first year we did that, only 44% of them hit it. This year, 46. This year, 56% hit it. 89% of the judges in the Denver region hit it. So I think that the culture is changing. I think that people are starting to see that there is going to be a way forward here. And if we really attack this with new ideas, new systems, and with real passion, that we can get this under control, though it's still going to take many more years before we get to where we want to be.
And under the banner of new and interesting and innovative ideas, there are two programs that have been ignited under you, the Quick Disability Determination Program and Compassionate Allowances. Can you just tell us a little bit more about those?
Sure. The QDD, Quick Disability Determination, program was being piloted as I came in and was under a very leisurely rollout. It wasn't scheduled to be fully rolled out until 2017. And my feeling is if you've got a good idea that's working right, you need to get it out there with a lot more aggressiveness than that. And so what QDD is, it's a complex computer model that basically weighs cases that come in electronically at the front end and tells us with a high degree of accuracy that the case is likely to be allowed. So we can pull those cases out, put them at the front of the queue, confirm that that's right, and simply award benefits. So the model is almost always right. Instead of the average of closer to 110 days, 107 days, these cases are typically decided in 8 days, often faster than that. We've got many thank you notes now from people in very distressed situations who came in, applied, and if they used direct deposit, which I encourage everybody to do, got their check within a week. So that's a great thing. And we think that over time, if we can improve the model, we don't know what the upper end is going to be, but we think that we may be able to do 6 to 8% of all the cases with that kind of speed. And when you're talking about between 2.5 and 3 million cases a year, that's hundreds of thousands of Americans. They're getting a quick and accurate decision on their claim. There's another system that we just got up and running in the last few weeks, which we're going to expand in the coming years. It will always be smaller than QDD, but it's basically those cases where we know by definition of the disease or condition that if you've got that, you're disabled under our standards and we should just write you the check and say, you know, anything else we can do to help you. So that's called compassionate allowances. We just need basically to confirm the diagnosis that it's real and confirm that the person is eligible for Social Security based on paying into the system. And then we can allow benefits. So we think, we don't know yet, it's too soon to know what the turnaround time is, but we think that we'll be able to do most of these cases in a matter of 2 to 5 days.
So now turning a little bit more towards the average American, going towards retirement, as the baby boomers begin to retire in larger numbers, the claims are projected to increase. How are you handling that projected increase, and what initiatives are you pursuing to manage that ballooning?
Right. We're going to have almost 80 million baby boomers retiring in the next 2 decades. It's a self-reliant group of people that want to have the ability to just simply go online and do it quickly and easily. So the most important thing we're doing is to make that possible. There are still going to be probably half our cases where people need to have a conversation with our workers, and they need to come into the office. And we still want to make sure that that happens. But by taking the cases where there doesn't have to be that discussion out of the waiting rooms, our employees will be less rushed. They can have a higher quality conversation for the American public. So when you file online, you're not only helping yourself, you're helping those people who really do need to come in and have an actual conversation with a field representative. We've had in the past very clunky online estimators, a very hard to use, highly inaccurate estimator in lots of ways that required you to put in 35 years of income and all that kind of thing. The new online estimator, it's easy to use, it's simple, it's clear, and because it ties in with our earnings record database, we can actually give you an individualized record without showing what your actual income is. So anybody can go on now, put in their age, tie into their earnings record, put in run scenarios and see where they'll stand. And particularly, you know, a lot of people take benefits at 62 who should probably be postponing. A lot of people don't realize that they're actuarially balanced and you get a higher monthly check if you wait. So we're giving much better information to people in a much more convenient fashion. And we need to be doing more of those kinds of things if we're going to have any real hope of meeting not only the amount of work, but really doing it in a high-quality way. And as I said, we're trying to actually make the service better while also meeting all these demands.
That's fantastic. Thank you. How is the Social Security Administration encouraging savings? We will ask Michael Astru, Commissioner of the U.S. Social Security Administration, to share with us when the conversation about management continues on the Business of Government Hour.